Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 120.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Horn. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance that will follow the prayer. Representative Horn.
Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, Father in heaven, we gather again in this house to do the people's business. It is therefore your business that we do, O Lord. We ask that you grant us objectivity and sound judgment, that you will guide us toward what best serves the people of our state. Provide that we exercise patience and not deviate from what is right for the good of all in favor of what is easy for some. Help us to be calm in our deliberations and immune to undue passion. As we seek your guidance for the challenges ahead, help us to follow what is written in the Old Testament. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Keep us from human ambition and inspire us a regard for justice. And finally, O Lord, we ask that you guide us, direct us, and hold us, each one of us, in the hollow of your hand. All this I pray in your glorious name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 26th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for August 26th to be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Okay. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The Royal Clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the Governor. Senate Bill 353, an act to allow for the laying off of a cartway up to 30 feet to clarify certain septic tank setbacks. Senate Bill 600, an act providing that the children of warfare veterans receive a Class 1A, 1B, or 4 scholarship used through those funds to cover the cost of short-term workforce training course leading to industry credentials with public safety answering point modifications. Senate Bill 621, an act to reduce testing administered by the students in public schools and to make various technical and clarifying changes related to education laws.
Chapter bills will be noted. Representatives Johnson, Lambeth, Sain, Arp, Brisson, Dobson, Faircloth, McGrady, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Johnson, Lambeth, Sain, Arp, Brisson, Dobson, Faircloth, McGrady, Appropriations Committee report, House Bill 426, additional Superior Court Judge, District 18B, favor committee substitute, unfavor, original bill to refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
The original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is, chair directs, the bill be referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirement. The CRA referral to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House is stricken.
House Bill 126, amend certificate of needs laws, favor for adoption.
Calendar for Rule 44D for Wednesday.
House Bill 226, 2019, AOC Legislative Changes, AB, favorable for adoption.
Counterfeit Rule 44D for Wednesday.
House Bill 777, various retirement changes, wastewater reform, favorable for adoption.
Counterfeit Rule 44D for Wednesday. Special messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that message be sent to your honorable body that Senate Bill 438 ratified an act to modify the implementation of North Carolina Read to Achieve program in order to attain statewide reading proficiency by the third grade was vetoed by the Governor Roy Cooper on August 23, 2019 and was returned to the Senate with the attached veto message. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 522, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make clarifying changes to teacher licensure laws and to align the selection of innovative schools with those identified by the State Board of Education for comprehensive support and improvement, to expand the options for the innovative school district, require local boards of education to inform boards of county commissioners of academic progress annually and to require further study for the informed assistance of low performing schools. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts a report of the conferees for Senate Bill 621, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce testing administered by students in public schools and to make various technical and clarifying changes related to education laws. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that Senator Brown has been added to the conference on Senate Bill 681, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 4th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to establish a rural health care stabilization program to give counties additional flexibility in regard to the local option sales tax use tax without increasing the existing maximum tax rate and to expand eligibility for utility account funds. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
House Bill 55, Senate Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act relating to vacancies in the Office of the Sheriff of Cleveland County for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Counter. Without objection. Day's counter. So ordered.
House Bill 609, Senate Committee Substitute, Fourth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act regarding legislative mandated salary increases of special annual leave to state adult correctional facility employees for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Counter for Wednesday.
House Bill 633, Senate Committee Substitute, Fourth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to strengthen the laws against criminal gang activity and clarify judicial standards commission procedures for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 690, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make modifications of appointments made in the 2019 appointment bill.
Rules counter and operations of the House. Calendar. Senate Bill 270, the clerk will read.
Senators McKissick and Woodward, Senate Bill 270, a bill to be entitled an act removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the City of Durham, General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Further discussion, further debate, question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 270 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Clerk Webb in the vote. Representatives Torbett and Johnson wish to vote on the bill. Representative Yarbrough, Representative Harris, any members wish to vote on the bill? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. Senate Bill 270 passes its third reading. Bill's order returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 683, Clerk will read.
Senators Daniels, McKissick, and Heiss, Senate Bill 683, a bill to be entitled to combat absentee ballot fraud. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Lewis, would the gentleman prefer to dispose of the two amendments first?
Yes, sir.
The gentleman is recognized. Send forth Amendment AST 74. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis moves to amend the bill on page 11, line 28, by rewriting that line to read.
The House will come to order. The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the amendment that you have before you, AST 74, is a concise way to say that the postage to return a ballot in order for your vote to be counted must be either paid by the voter themselves or by the state board. Again, the intent of this bill has been to tighten up the requirements and to combat absentee ballot fraud. One of the ways that we can do that, there is a pilot program in the main bill where the state board will pay for the return of absentee ballots. This would make sure that it is either paid for by the state board or the voter themselves. It's, again, the entire intent of this bill is to avoid the professional paid ballot harvesting that we've seen. This amendment strengthens the bill, and I would urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Lewis. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth Amendment AST 76. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis moves to amend the bill on page 6, lines 19 through 20, by inserting the following between those lines.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the amendment that you have before you, AST 76, is our best faith effort to ensure that a voter who needs assistance in casting their vote, if they do not have a family member close by to help them, or they do not have a guardianship type relationship with someone, that they may request help from someone else to complete their ballot. This is to make sure that folks that may be struggling with some kind of disability that would require help is able to get help. With that, I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If for what purpose? Gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren Rice.
Ask Representative Lewis a question if he'll yield.
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield?
I do, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, is there any discussion on a possible limitation on how many times an individual can assist people filling out their ballots?
Representative Warren, I do not believe that we address that per se. I will state, although it's not germane to this amendment with the speaker's indulgence, it is my intention to object a third today. So if there is additional work that's required, we can do that tomorrow. I hope that gives you a little bit more comfort with this.
For what purpose, the lady from Orange, Representative Insko Rice?
To ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, yield. He yields.
Representative Lewis, following up on that issue, is the people with disabilities, are they identified in some way? I mean, some people presenting would be clearly disabled, but other people might not be. Is there some kind of identification they have as being disabled?
Representative Insko, we have put on here due to blindness, disability, inability to read or write. I think if someone identifies themselves as disabled, that would qualify. And Mr. Speaker, may I pose an inquiry to the chair?
Chairman May.
May I have staff on the floor?
You may. Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative, the amendment's adopted. Representative Lewis, the chair is in possession of an amendment from Representative Dodd. Does the gentleman wish to debate or take the amendment up first? All right, we'll go ahead and take up the amendment to lay from wait. Representative Dodd, recognize, send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Dodd moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 2 through 5, by rewriting those lines to read.
The lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
So you guys have heard me talk about DRE voting computers on the floor before, which are the direct record electronic voting machines that are extremely unreliable. I even hosted an event to talk about them. And I think you guys we got a video around. Anyways, what happens with these is the voters cannot review their votes. And so I'm trying to remove these so that we don't have them for the 2020 election, so that we don't have to certify them. I know I'm not making much sense to myself right now. but by using the computers, voters will produce a barcode. And instead of being able to read what you voted for, it'll have to go through another mechanism to get you what you voted for, and you won't really know what you voted for, so you have to trust these computers to do as they want to do, and they're extremely hackable. So I'm hoping that we can remove the provision from there to take out Section 9A that may authorize upon such terms, conditions, and the state board deems appropriate, which is take the DREs out. Was that as clear as mud? Okay. So please vote yes. I think I've got support on both sides, so let's go to it. Green button.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Almanz, Representative Riddell, rise?
Speak on the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Friends, several of us on both sides of the aisle had a local bill early on in the session that would extend the life of the DRE machines. It would delay the decertification until after the next election cycle of 2020. And there are some 20-plus different counties that this would affect. The reason we're doing this is because there was such a delay on the part of the State Board of Elections of certifying new machines, and there's even controversy over the machines that have been certified. So these counties are simply asking that they be allowed to delay the decertification until after the next election cycle, and they know this is the drop-dead date. So I really would ask you to oppose the amendment. I don't think that's what we want to do. We want to give the counties, 20-plus counties in our state, the opportunity to extend their machines if they're still in good order, which I can guarantee the ones in Alamance County are. They're kept in a climate-controlled room. They are serviced and maintained in very tip-top condition. We've never had any issues with them. As long as your county board of elections is doing that, more than likely your DRE machine is still good to go. So I would ask you not to vote green on the amendment. Vote no, please.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I come from one of those counties that actually uses the DRE machines, but I've heard a lot of concerns from the public about the reliability of these machines, and they are long past their sell-by date. And we have some language in 683 that provides flexibility to the counties that are using these DREs to undertake a simulated testing requirement so that they can actually buy the newly certified equipment for the 2020 election. We are a battleground state. All eyes of the nation are going to be on our races, and I think the public wants to have confidence and reliability in the results. I feel pretty confident that the language in the proposal. And 683 provides a flexibility along with an amendment that Representative Hardister is going to provide that provides flexibility to the counties that are actually impacted by the expiration of the DREs. But I think this is a common sense amendment, and I encourage you to support it. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
To debate the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I fully respect Representative Dahl and where she's coming from on this. We did converse on the floor earlier. That said, I have to second the comments of Representative Riddell. In my county, I know the commissioners, I believe it was bipartisan, not sure if it was unanimous, they wanted the ability to delay the decertification for the DRE machines. I've spoken with our county director, and he's informed me that these machines are working, that they're not yet ready, or they're not yet at the point where these machines need to be replaced. So what I think the bill should allow is simply a process where counties can apply to have a delay in decertification, and that application, of course, goes to the State Board of Elections, which then would decide whether or not to allow the delay. So, members, I'd respectfully ask you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
Ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield.
I do, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, and I know don't hope the question isn't ruled out of order, but I think it's pertinent for what two members have stated today, that there are bills under consideration that would extend the DREs in the localities that have not been considered. That impacts how we vote today. And so I think it's important to understand where those bills stand.
Representative, I don't know exactly where those bills stand. I will tell you that the bill before us, which is Senate Bill 683, if you look over on page 12, what we tried to do with this bill is to allow the counties that have machines that they believe that work to accurately record people's votes, to be able to go to the state board and say, we believe our machines work. These are machines that we bought under the state contract and under state direction. We'd like to use them one more year. But again, it vests the authority to decide that in the state board. What this amendment would do, I do think, excuse me 1 minute. I do believe the House has passed bills that reside in the Senate that do this same thing. So I think I answered your question as best I could.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the motion.
Lady has the floor. Debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, one of the problems with these direct record electronic machines is that they really cannot comply with state law when it comes to auditing them, because the tapes that are used have chemicals in them that are difficult, created some reactions on people, and so the State Board of Elections have allowed them to take screenshots. The law requires the audit to be done based on the ballot that is cast. And so they really are not able to comply with state law. I don't know whether there'll be any lawsuits about that or not, but there are multiple problems with these machines. Even though they look good and they seem to be fine, they're very much at risk for breaking down. The lines are longer at the counties that have DRE machines because there's so many things that go wrong with them. There may be some counties that don't have any problems at all, but many counties do. So all of our machines can be new for the 2020 election. There's nothing stopping our counties from going ahead and making those decisions now. And we should be, every voter in the state of North Carolina should be confident that every vote that is cast in every county is the vote. Every vote that's counted is actually the vote that was cast. I want to be confident that all of your votes are cast are the ones that get counted. So I hope you'll support this amendment.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise? For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if Representative Lewis would yield to a question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. I want to follow up on the questions that you just answered for Representative Montgomery. Did I understand you said that the House has already passed bills that you think essentially would have the same impact as this amendment that we've sent over to the Senate?
No, sir, and thank you for the chance to clarify. What I was trying to say is on page 12, section 9A, the House has already passed this bill, and what this bill says is that if a county has these machines and believes they work, they can go to the State Board of Elections and say, we believe these machines work, we want to use them for one more year, and it would give the State Board the authority to let that take place. What the amendment does is say, no, that's not going to take place. The machines are going to need to be replaced. So I'm sorry if I misspoke.
May I ask the gentleman a second question if he'll yield?
Representative Lewis, yield. He yields.
Thank you, Representative Lewis. I don't know if you misspoke. I may have misheard. I think you and I are both recognizing that there are complexities to this bill that are a little hard to understand. As the bill sponsor, do you have a position on this amendment?
Yes, and Mr. Speaker, may I speak on the amendment? Maybe
to... We'll do it. Why don't we just do that? We'll just, gentlemen, recognize to debate the amendment.
Mr. Speaker and members, one of my favorite movies is The Campaign, and stars Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis, and they're running in the yet-to-be-drawn 14th Congressional District of North Carolina. That's an exciting prospect that I'm sure this legislature looks forward to. But one of the taglines of that movie is when Marty Huggins, who's the Zach Galifianakis character, says, "It's a mess. Bring your brooms, it's a mess." I can tell you, this is a mess. Our state system works because we have a system in which our counties buy voting machines that are approved by the state to let voters go into a voting booth and their reflection of how they want to vote be recorded and those votes tallied, and that decides who wins and who loses elections. I would like to say that I'm mad that the counties haven't replaced these machines before now, but the truth is, partly because of my fault and actions of the General Assembly, there hasn't been a state board in place to certify a vendor to provide the machines. So my personal preference is that we do move to a paper-style ballot, one that people can hold and look at. At the same time, I'm mindful that we are sent up here to speak for the folks back home. And a lot of counties have significant capital investments in machines that they believe work differently than a paper ballot works. What the amendment would do is say, even if you believe your system works, and even if the state board says your system works, you still can't use it. You've got to figure out a way to buy a new machine. I've been here for a long time, and I don't think I've ever been as conflicted on which way to vote on an amendment as I am this one. So I will just say that I believe a better way to cast votes is with a paper ballot that folks can hold and see. This amendment gets us there a little bit faster. However, I don't know that even with this amendment, there's time to do it before 2020. So you're just going to have to figure this one out on your own.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
To see if Representative Lewis would respond to another question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield.
I'm about out of answers, Mr. Speaker, but I'll try.
Thank you for that, first of all. I think it clarified things, but muddied some others.
Given that you agree with me and many others that we need to have ballots that can be confirmed and people can have confidence in their votes, no matter how people vote, I think that's what we all believe, but you're not sure that there's time. You would like to see it happen before 2020, but you're not sure it's time. Is it a budget issue? And if so, second part of the question, what can we in the General Assembly do to rectify that? Because I believe we should.
Actually, I think that's a very good and a very fair question to ask. First of all, it's both. If you say all 100 counties must do this in a short period of time, then the demand for these machines will increase, and I think the price of the machines, because of the demand, will also increase. Also, as far as just a pure cost thing, there are many counties, some of our larger counties, in fact, that have had these other types of machines for a long time that have a high degree of confidence that they work, and probably more importantly, the voters in those counties know how those machines work. So it is both because that we're in October of 2019 and we're talking about a 2020 election, the time frame is very short, and I'm not sure it even could be done in the time frame that is left. I mean, we're only a year and 2 months out from the November 2020 general election. But yes, it is also a cost concern too. As far as what we in the General Assembly could do, I will just say that it has usually and traditionally either been a county responsibility or a county with grants from the feds responsibility to buy machines. I actually filed a bill 2 years ago that didn't get heard. Doggone elections committee chair was an unreasonable person and wouldn't hear my bill, that would have done a match to each county for up to $500K per county for machines. Now, for Wake County, that's a drop in the bucket. For Martin County, that's a lot of money. So I hope I answered your question.
Follow up.
Gentleman, yield.
Yes, sir.
Representative Lewis, would you agree that we have had in our state and in places in our country problems with the security of our elections?
Representative, you put me in kind of a tough spot there. I don't know that I would agree that in our state we've had problems with the security of the ballots themselves, which is what we're talking about here, the actual ballot itself that gets fed into a machine. So I don't think I, in good conscience, could agree with you that there's been problems in this state with the actual ballot that's fed in the machine. As far as nationwide, I don't know that I'm qualified to respond to that.
One more follow-up.
Gentleman, you?
Yes.
Yes.
I accept that you think that perhaps our problem in North Carolina was not about the ballot itself, but about some other things. But there are other states, it sounds like you are not aware of those, that have had some problems with similar machines in other states and security in their states.
Ma'am, I've read some things. I just am not prepared to recall and discuss them right now.
Thank you. Briefly debate the bill.
Please recognize the debate the bill. The amendment, rather, yes.
Because of many of the things that I just asked Representative Lewis, and because of the security that I think we all want in our election from now on, absolutely, and asking you to vote for this amendment. We need to figure out a way, if it is a budget issue, if it's a time issue, where there's a will, there is a way, is my belief. So I ask you to support this in the on the basis of securing our election and giving our counties, if they need it, the financial support to accomplish it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate Representative Lewis' dilemma and difficulty on advising really what to do on this amendment. I'm the only Republican member who attended the event that Representative Dahl spoke about earlier, and I believe I shared the report, whatever, the video from that with everybody. If you didn't get it, I'll try to get it to you again. And I sympathize with Representative Riddell's concerns about the counties being able to get this done. But everybody knows the enormity of the election that's coming up next year, you know, up and down the ballot. And I think this is something we have to get dealt with, and I don't think after next year's election is the time to do it. I think we need to try to get it done before. The presentation that I attended was not, in any way that I could see, partisan. The gentleman who spoke to us was presenting the facts, and he did a very good job of explaining what I myself had exactly been concerned about. I didn't know all the ins and outs of it as well as he explained it, but the concern was there, and I think it's there for a lot of us. And I understand, and I'm sorry if this puts a bit of a hurry up on the counties, but this is something that's too important not to be done. So I'm going to support this amendment, and I'd appreciate it if others would too. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
I apologize, Representative Lewis, but it was my understanding that Senate Bill 683 was amended in the PCS for 683 that was presented in rules yesterday, provided the kind of flexibility to the counties who could, on the testing requirement for these newly certified machines that the state board approved last week. Is that correct?
Representative, there is an amendment that Representative Hardister is going to send forward that I think will address that. I think, again, the point behind this amendment and the opposition to this amendment is more on a local budget concern thing, not necessarily the testing requirements of the machine.
I appreciate that. May I speak to the bill a second time?
Please recognize to debate the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Lewis. I think there's some language in the bill now, and then Representative Harster does have an amendment to clarify. The way this matter was presented to us and our delegation was that the county commissioners were not keen on putting the kind of money that they would need to in machines that might be rendered obsolete fairly shortly, because these new machines had not yet been certified. But these machines were certified last week, Friday, and the language in this bill and with the language that Representative Hardister is going to offer will provide the kind of flexibility to the counties that are in this bind, including my county, so that they will have the opportunity to test these new machines to get them up and running for the 2020 election. I agree completely with Representative Pittman. The information that was presented at that presentation by the South Carolina professor, who had a real lack of confidence in election results coming from these DRE machines. I just think this election is too important to have any reliance on the DRE machines, and we ought to be moving ahead into 21st century technology. So I would encourage you to support the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
If Chairman Lewis will yield for yet another question, I have one for him.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir, but I'm getting confused now.
Representative Lewis, what is your opinion as to whether that which has been certified now by the current State Board of Elections is the complete answer to our prayers for security and confidence in the next election? Are there any issues at all, or is this like manna from heaven that it's all going to be right as long as we get these machines?
Representative Blackwell, I have confidence that the state board did the due diligence that it was required to do. I don't know that any system is completely foolproof. So I'm sorry that I can't. I think even Moses threw the Ten Commandments and broke them. So I don't know that there's anything that's completely foolproof, no matter who makes it or certifies it or deems it to be so.
Follow up?
Gentlemen, yield to a follow up? Yields.
Well, if we're not asking for something that is foolproof, you have a level of confidence that is satisfactory to you, that forcing everybody to go to the new certified machines for the 2020 election is the best we're going to do, and that we should do that.
I have full degree of confidence that moving to the new machines is the more secure way to go, yes.
Is more?
More secure, yes.
Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
To speak to the amendment.
Gentleman has floor, debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a partisan thing at all. What I would ask that you consider is, let me just read for you what this amendment will strike. And for Union County, the flexibility, because the state board was in flux and didn't get this, this is a pragmatic solution. And let me just read it for you. It says, notwithstanding Section 311 and so forth, as amended of this act, the State Board of Elections may authorize, upon such terms and conditions as a state board deems appropriate. So it's discretionary within the state board to allow these. It goes on and it says, prior to using these DREs, provided the state board determines the following conditions are satisfied, and I think these are very reasonable conditions, that the county board of elections submits a request to use the DRE voting that has been used in elections prior to December 1st, 2020, that the county board of elections provides sufficient information for the state board to conclude that the use of DRE voting systems will not jeopardize the security of the election or the elections, and that the County Board of Elections has begun the process to replace them. Now, I for one think that this is a pragmatic solution for those counties like Representative Riddell and my county and others that find themselves in a tremendous, difficult place. I think that this provision in the bill is a reasonable solution that moves us down the road to the ultimate of replacing the machines, but it doesn't put a line in the sand that makes an unreasonable request against those counties who are trying to do good. For that reason, I would ask that you vote against the amendment.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, rise?
To debate the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
Being a county commissioner in a former life, not too long ago, we talked constantly about unfunded mandates. And to me, this will not affect my county because of the machines we have, but I know it'll affect many. And unlike us, they've all passed their budgets, and they're in place as of July. We haven't quite got there yet. So you're putting an unfunded mandate, which is going to require them to go back and amend their budgets to buy these machines, because it's going to be March of 2020, which is not that far away. And I think that's one of the worst things we can do to our counties is put an unfunded mandate. So if they have machines and they can prove they're working in order until they can get to a better situation, I just ask that you vote against this amendment. It looks to me like it's going to cost. Now, if everybody in here is in agreement, we can look at House Bill 966 and put an appropriation in it, and I'll vote for it, and we can probably get it done, and we'll have a passed budget, too.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, rise?
To speak on the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
If I could ask a question of Representative Lewis or either Dowell, either one.
All right, so the gentleman is now wishing to ask a question as opposed to debate. Member needs to identify who he wants to ask the question to.
Representative Lewis.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Concerning this amendment and also the previous statement, do we have a fiscal note as to how much it would cost the counties if we pass this bill today, or is the state going to pay for it?
Representative Shepherd, we don't have a fiscal note on what replacing the machines is going to cost the counties. Again, this bill, the amendment would accelerate costs that all the counties are going to have to bear at some point. The bill would, the bill would provide that if the county says its machines are adequate and the state board agrees that they could get one more use out of them, if you will. But the cost will be a significant one. But again, it's one that's traditionally been borne by the counties. And just to, if I could just finish that by saying, and I tried to take responsibility for it in a humorous way, but this requirement to move away from this type of machine has been law for almost 6 years now. Everything I said is true. We did have trouble. There was no state board for a while to certify new machines and whatnot, but In all fairness, this requirement has been out there for 6 years, and I think that counties have at least begun to think and plan and prepare for it in various ways.
To speak.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the amendment.
I understand the concerns that we have, but with that being said, I couldn't support this amendment because I would not want to send an unfunded mandate down to our counties. I know they're already stretched for funds in many areas, and I think maybe we need to see what it's going to cost and then maybe look at doing that later. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
To debate the amendment a second time.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I conferred with our elections director in Guilford County. I asked him about the efficacy of the DRE machines in the 2020 election. He said he's confident that the machines will be efficient, and he's confident in that the machines will function properly for the 2020 election. All he is asking for, and the Guilford County commissioners are asking for, is to have the option to delay the decertification. And if you look at the bill on page 12, section 9A, starting on line 18, you can see the criteria that has to be met in order for the decertification. Of course, the county has to request a delay in decertification, and then the County Board of Elections must provide sufficient information for the State Board to conclude that the use of the DRE voting machines will not jeopardize the security of the elections. And then also the County Board of Elections must have begun the process and timeline for replacing the DRE voting machines and provide the proper documentation. So, members, I would say that safeguards are there simply for the county to apply for a delay in decertification. I think it makes a lot of sense to allow this to happen, give the county's ability to save a little bit of money in the short run, and then subsequently, not to get off topic, but I do have another amendment that I intend to run later that will provide flexibility in testing new equipment. So, again, members, I respectfully ask you to vote no on the amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Adams, rise?
To debate the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
As I contemplate what we're talking about here, I think we all aspire to have as perfect a system as we possibly can. But there are some practical limitations to this. I mean, to me, you're going to have to order these pieces of equipment. You're going to have to wait and take delivery of the pieces of equipment. You're going to have to install the pieces of equipment. Then you're going to have to train people on how to use the pieces of equipment. And I guess by my reckoning, you'd have to do that before the primaries in the spring. And I think many times in many of the things that I've done, when you rush to make something better, you miss the opportunity to make what you have perfectly sufficient. I think we should set a target out in the future for this. I think this is a bit too quick, and I will vote against the amendment.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
To speak to the amendment
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. As well as ask Representative Lewis a couple of questions.
Which do you want? You want to ask him a question first. Representative Sherman, he is.
Thank you so much. Representative Lewis, a couple of questions. One is, we received $10 million in 2018 from the HAVA, the Help America Vote Act. Do we have another opportunity to receive that grant money to upgrade our machines forthcoming?
Representative Cunningham, I'll have to get back to you on that. I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Follow-up?
Gentlemen, you? He is.
Thank you. Representative Lewis, so for us looking at the dates of the possibility of us finding the funding before the end of the year, before we move to the next cycle, and I understand you said it was out there for 6 years, would we have enough time to get everything in place before the next election in 2020?
I think there are many people that have concerns that we don't have time to replace all of the machines. Yes, ma'am, I think that's fair to say.
Thank you. Now I'll make my remarks.
Please recognize, debate the amendment.
Thank you. This is really tough because the people back home at my election board are saying to replace all the machines that we have, it couldn't be done within a sufficient amount of time. I'm not encouraging anybody how to vote on this amendment, but I simply know this. It's been out there 6 years. We know that there was slippage in the machines that happened in the last election cycle. We know some of them broke down because of the humidity. And we also know that parts were being purchased on eBay because we talked about it before. So I know it needs to be done. But a lot of the larger places are just not ready yet. And we're not ready in Mecklenburg County. I know we're not ready. And we've been looking forward for it, but things happen. It is my hope that we do something and not linger after this year. Thank you.
Representative Dahl, the chair appreciates the lady sending forth this amendment. What purpose does the gentleman from... It's like Christmas lights up here, all these lights flashing. For what purpose does the gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hanning, rise?
To debate the amendment.
Gentleman asks for debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment will put a huge burden on a couple of my counties, and I urge you to vote against it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
To speak to the amendment a second time. Real quick. Can I do that? Is that allowed or no?
I couldn't remember if you've debated twice already.
No, I've only spoken once because I turned my light off.
Okay, it's all running together up here.
I know.
I'm sorry. Ladies recognize.
Look, folks, as simple as I can make it, I don't want people reinvesting money in broken machines and putting them in DREs, new DREs, because these DREs are computers. They're not machines. They break. The simplest way to have safe and accurate elections is paper ballots being counted. That is my whole, that's all I want. And I'm afraid that if we don't start this conversation and don't start down this road, people are going to start investing in these electronic machines because the salespeople are good and slick, and we're not going to have safe elections anymore. I understand everybody's concern about unfunded mandates. I get it. I just want us to be very careful in how the counties carry out what the state board has said and has not said. I didn't mean to cause all of this commotion and force everybody to be worried about what's happening at the county level, but if we don't start somewhere, and maybe this amendment's not the one to start with, I still want a green vote, but I want us to, we need to start thinking further down the road than tomorrow, because if we get into trouble and computers get better and there's more hackability, then we're going to be in trouble. So you need to think about it. I hope you'll think about it that way. I hope you'll vote yes still.
For what purpose, Gentleman Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Ask Representative Lewis a question.
Representative Lewis, the gentleman yield?
No.
He yields.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, sir. I just wondered, you know, I don't like the idea of unfunded mandates either, but I'm wondering, would there be a likelihood that some of these counties could get HAVA funds in time to do this?
Representative Pittman, I don't know if they're going to be a new round of HAVA funds or not. So I wouldn't be able to. I don't know.
For what purpose, the lady from Orange, Representative Vinsco, rise.
To speak a second time.
Ladies recognized.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not an unfunded mandate. This amendment, if passed, would require these counties to buy new machines now instead of in 2 years. Everyone is going to have to spend this money. Our spending it now will give us more confidence in our elections. That's so basic to democracy, to have confidence that the vote you cast is the vote that's counted. Please vote for this amendment.
Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A3 sent forward by Representative Dahl. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk lot machine, record the vote. 58 having voted in the affirmative, 58 in the negative. With the chair casting a no vote, the amendment fails. Had the debate gone on for less than 3 minutes, the chair would have voted aye, though. Representative Hardis is recognized to send forth amendment AST 75. The clerk will read.
Representative Hardis moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 6, by deleting those lines.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry. Okay, members, hopefully this amendment will be much less controversial and conversational than the last one was. This amendment simply allows counties to have the ability to test voting equipment in a simulated election, which would be done according to standards established by the State Board of Elections. This simply allows counties more time to test equipment and to ensure the equipment is functional prior to the next election. This would expire after December 31, 2020, and I believe this is supported by the State Board of Elections. I'd appreciate a green vote on the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A4, sent forward by Representative Hardister. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Horn, did the gentleman intend to vote no? Representative Pierce, care to record? Clerk lot machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The chair does not believe we're in possession of any other amendments, so we're now going to go to debate on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, rise.
To ask a bill sponsor a question.
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Sorry, Representative Lewis, but I have a question that has been posed by the director of the Iredell County Board of Elections. I understand where we're trying to standardize times. But she has asked the question if they might be able to open at the standard hour that they open in the morning, which is 8 o'clock as opposed to 8:30, rather than having to turn people away at the door. I understand you said you were going to object to a third reading and wanted to ask if you might consider overnight thinking about opening at standard time or no later than 8:30.
Um, Representative Fraley, I do want to respond to that, and I want to confer with our central staff to get you a firm answer, but I believe the answer to your director's concern is that the county board office itself as a main site has always been able to do 8 to 5 if that's what it chose to do. This is just for the satellite sites, the uniformity in the satellite sites. But I'll be glad to talk to you some more before we get to third.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Redland, Representative Warren Rice.
To see if Representative Lewis would
Representative Lewis, gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Lewis, just for clarification, I think I understand what it's saying, but I'd like to hear it from you. On page 10, line 16 of the bill, item 4, says, if the County Board of Elections opens one-stop sites on Saturdays, other than the last Saturday before the election, during the period required by statute, then all one-site stops must be open for the same number of hours. Now, is that saying that all Saturdays except the last one are eligible to be open, or that just that Saturday by itself doesn't have to comply with the uniform hours?
Every Saturday, every county in the state has to have uniform hours the last Saturday. They could vary the previous two.
Follow?
Gentlemen, yield to another question?
Yes, sir.
Again, I apologize for not grasping it, but is this saying that on that Saturday, the last Saturday, the other satellite offices do not have to be open?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 693 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. Senate Bill 683 passes second reading. Will without objection? Haven't objected to. Remains on the calendar. House Bill 55. The clerk will read.
Representative Elmore. House Bill 55, a bill to be entitled an act relating to vacancies in the office of the Sheriff of Cleveland County. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Chairman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, recognized for a motion. Either a motion to concur or not concur.
Move to concur, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Gaston has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 55, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This has full delegation support. The county sheriff is in support. The commissioners are in support, and since the coroner was eliminated, this just simplifies the process if the sheriff needed to be replaced, and would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House, is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 55. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House having voted to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 55, the bill is ordered enrolled. For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise.
I'd like to be recorded as a yes on Senate Bill 683, please.
They will be recorded as having voted aye on second reading of Senate Bill 683. The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you're on the House Pensions Committee, at the recess, you need to meet in room 1228. Thank you.
And members of the chair will open it up to notices and announcements, but we will be going into recess. There is a bill that is in pensions and retirement that was read in earlier that will be added to this evening's calendar to dispose of when we come back from recess. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege, Mr.
The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a very pleasant phone call from my oldest grandson this morning. He informed me that today is his 23rd birthday. And if you know my grandson, you would know that he really is not one who would be braggadocio. He would be he's been private all his life pretty much, somewhat of an introvert, very quiet, and does not talk about accomplishments. But he did ask me for some advice on his 23rd birthday, and that gave me a real golden opportunity to share with him that, son, I want you to continue to remember God and country. Always remember that you should keep both feet level on the ground, and that though you made accomplishments, that somehow they pale when it comes to debilitations that life sometimes throws at us. And he was very inquisitive. What do you mean, Papa? I said, well, at age 23, you've already finished college and you're in grad school. You're now an accomplished high school coach. You are a successful trainer of students. You have your real estate license and you've now already purchased your first house. You're very successful, but keep in mind that life is fleeting. It can disappear at any moment. And I want you to pass that on to all your friends that you see. Just be reminded that even the great English poet John Milton was blinded on his 23rd birthday. So remember to be very humble. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To see if the rules chair will pause for him.
Representative Lewis, gentlemen, yield. He yields.
Representative Lewis, you object to third reading of 683.
Yes, sir.
Follow-up question, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, yield. He yields.
We're going to have a rules committee. We're going to run the bill on the floor like we just finished.
Representative Floyd, we're going to consider the bill on the floor tomorrow, hopefully a little bit smoother than we did today.
Promise, Mr.
Scout's honor.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Question of the chair.
Please recognized.
In your remarks earlier, Mr. Speaker, you said when we reconvene this evening, does that evening mean 3:45 or 7 o'clock? Some of us have made some commitments that we need to change.
We're gonna come back at 3:45. So chair was just informed the pensions committee needs about 30 minutes.
So we follow up.
Please recognize.
So I don't need to rescind an invitation that I have accepted to speak this evening at 7 o'clock.
Well, based on the last debate it may go a while. At this point, the chair is intending just one bill, but if something changes, the lady would know that by 3:45, but the chair doesn't intend anything to be different.
Thank you very much.
Finance in the morning. Okay. I didn't tell Soka. Can you go tell him? I haven't seen him.
What do I tell him?
That we're going to meet at 9 o'clock. You're in the chair. He's got his bill up.
I'm going to send you an email.
I just wondered if you got it, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. So I'm sending it so I know where it's at. What are we doing? What are we doing?
We'll send out the PCS on your
bill. Okay.
Later.
You already have it somewhere?
You can't.
Oh, okay. That one. Okay. I
we're just going to make sure that it's only given to the state. That's
okay.
Yeah.
And that was the only bridge.
I mean, I don't think
okay.
It needs any bridge.
It does look
like you're
right. Okay. Okay, make sure it's okay.
Yeah. For what purpose, the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, rise.
To make an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Lady has the floor.
The Finance Committee will meet in the morning in room 544 at 9 a.m., and we will be sitting out an agenda later this afternoon.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has four.
House Democrats that are not on pitches in retirement will caucus immediately upon recess.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the chair is going to declare the House sitting in recess subject to the standard stipulations of Rule 15.1. Actually, before we do that, just there are recognition on motion of the gentleman from Davis and Representative Jarvis. Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to two guests with us today, Reverend Jonathan Heath and Reverend Mike Mader. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you over here on this side. Thanks for being with us today, gentlemen. House is going to stand in recess subject to the standard stipulations until 3:45. Representative Riddell, right now, sent forth conference report. Clerk Reed.
Senate Bill 553, the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on Senate Bill 553, a bill to be entitled an act to provide further regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina. House Committee Substitute Favorable 625-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2, Favorable 628-19. Sixth Edition Engrossed 7-8-19. Submit the following report. The Senate and the House agreed to the following amendment of the House Committee Substitute Favorable 625-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2, Favorable 628-19. Sixth Edition Engrossed 7-8-19. And the Senate concurs in the House Committee Substitute as amended. Delete the entire House Committee Substitute Favorable 625-19. House Committee Substitute Number 2, Favorable 628-19. Sixth Edition Engrossed 7-8-19. And substitute the attached proposed Conference Committee Substitute S553-PCCS45356-RIXR-1. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report August 27, 2019. Conferees for the Senate: Senator Sanderson, Chair; Senators Wells, Brown, Newton. Conferees for the House of Representatives: Representative Riddell, Chair; Representatives Brody, Yarbrough, Bell, Arp, and McGrady.
Pursuant to Rule 44D, Senate Bill 553's rule material will be calendared for Wednesday. Representative Eiler recognized, sent forth conference report. Clerk Reed.
House Bill 449, President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on House Bill 449, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize the Division of Motor Vehicles to produce a Keeping the Lights On special registration plate and a POW-MIA Bring Them Home special registration plate. Senate Finance Committee Substitute adopt 7-8-19, 4th edition, and Engrossed 7-9-19. Submit the following report. The House and the Senate agree to the following amendment. The Senate Finance Committee substitute adopt 7-8-19, fourth edition engross 7-9-19, and the House concurs and the Senate Committee substitute as amended. Delete the entire Senate Finance Committee substitute adopt 7-8-19, fourth edition engross 7-9-19, and substitute the attached proposed Conference Committee substitute H-449 PCCS-1070-4-SU-7. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report, August 21st, 2019. Conferees for the Senate, Senators Rabin, Chair, Senators McInnes, Harrison. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Eiler, Chair, Representatives Torbert, Davis, Shepherd, and Presnell.
House Bill 449, pursuant to Rule 44D, is calendared for Wednesday. Representative McNeil, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative McNeil, Pensions and Retirement Committee report, House Bill 426, Educators Pay Increases, Retiree Supplement, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1.
Committee Substitute Number 1, Unfavorable Calendar. Committee Substitute Number 2, Calendar without objection. Day's calendar, so ordered.
stand on that.
House Bill 426, the clerk will read.
Representatives Faircloth, Hollister, and Brockman, House Bill 426, a bill to be entitled Educators Pay Increases, Retiree Supplements, General Service of North Carolina Annexed.
Gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What you have before you, if you were in appropriations this morning, and many of you were, is the educators' pay increase and retiree supplements. We had staff explain. It's pretty much everything that came out of the budget. And I'll just yield for any questions or and urge you to support the bill.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice?
To ask a question, Chairman Sane.
Representative Sane, gentlemen, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Chairman Sane, I understand that the bill changed in pensions and retirement, and for those of us who aren't on that committee, could you tell us what changes were made?
If I may, Representative Jackson, as you read through, there weren't a lot of changes. There were a little bit of changes with wording as we instructed this morning in appropriations that staff could make technical changes. The PCS also reflected some of that. And I may defer to the pensions chairman just to answer any specific questions, but it's basically what we had in the budget bill.
Mr. Speaker, if I could direct my question to the pensions chairman.
Representative McNeil, does the gentleman yield? He yields.
Sorry, I do.
Chairman McNeil, the same question to you. Could you just tell me what changed in your committee's PCS?
As I understand it from what Representative saying, that the only thing I believe else changed was I believe there was a change in the title.
Mr. Speaker, can I ask an additional question?
Gentleman, Representative McNeil, gentleman yield to additional question? He yields.
Mr. Chairman, how did the title change?
Mr. Speaker, if you'll give me just a minute.
Certainly. Representative Johnson, I think there's a thing like called silent or vibrate or something on these phones usually.
Mr. Speaker, I bought it on discount. It doesn't have that button.
Noted. All right, I think Representative McNeil's ready. Gentleman's ready to respond to Representative Jackson's question.
As I understand from staff that just told me that the change in the title was due to the technical changes in the bill.
Mr. Speaker, if I could just speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And before I forget, I know I've notified the Speaker, but I would like to object to third reading today so that we have several amendments that our side is trying to get prepared, and of course changing the title has to change all those amendments, so we're working on that. It's my understanding that the only change to the bill in pensions was the change of the title, and of course that has to do with whether or not we can run the amendments that Representative Chairman Sane was kind enough to promise us we would be able to run on the House floor. Apparently there's going to be an attempt to keep us from doing that tomorrow, so I just want to point out some of the differences and why I'm against this bill. First thing is, we noted this morning, this bill only provides a 1% raise for non-certified school personnel. Why is that important? Well, this is the same group that was left out of the wonderful thing that this body did last session to set a state employee minimum wage of $15 an hour. And we did that's a wonderful thing that this body did, and those who negotiated that should be commended for that. I've seen that a lot of counties and a lot of municipalities are following the state's lead and that's the way I believe it should be. But we left one group out, and that was the non-certified personnel. So we left them out last year, and then we had this raises that we've offered for all these other state employees, 5%, some more for certain corrections officers and things like that. But we're only willing to give our non-certified personnel 1%. What's more, we're not even really willing to give them 1% for the majority of them, because the majority of them don't work 12 months. They work 10 months. And, of course, their salary reflects the fact that they only work 10 months. But instead of giving them 1% raise of their salary, what we're saying is we're going to prorate their raise. So if they only work 10 months, they'll get 10/12 of 1%, which is less than a percent. The second problem is in the second paragraph of that section, which actually says, despite all the other raises we're doing for state employees, highway patrolmen, and things like that, that say next year they get the same amount, this says it's the intent of the General Assembly, which means we're actually not awarding that raise at this point. We're not awarding a raise in the second year to biennium. We're just telling people it's our intention to do that. If we take no further action, they get no raise in the second year of the biennium, is my understanding of that language. So, you know, I think those are problems. The governor's budget proposed to give them a 2.5, the governor's counterproposal to the budget proposed to give them 2.5% a year for a 5% total like the rest of the state employees. I think it's really hard to argue why this particular group is less deserving than the other state employees of getting a 5% raise. This bill also fails in some other ways when comparing it to the governor and the Democratic caucus's counterproposal to the budget. It does less for community colleges. It does less for university employees. And it does half as much for retirees. So this the bill before you today only does 0.5% for each of the next 2 years for retirees and our state pension plan, whereas our proposal, our counterproposal to you, changed that and made that 1% a year. I would argue to you that that's not enough. That 1% is not enough each year. And in fact, I have a chart that shows us what this body has done since I entered the chamber in 2009. And it'll really surprise you at how far behind our retirees have gotten in their buying power compared to the cost of medicine, the cost of gas, cost of groceries, and everything going up. And so, although I understand that we have restraints, the governor's proposal, our counterproposal to you, had 2% total for the 2 years as opposed to 1%. That's double as much. And for that reason, I also would ask you to vote against this bill. We can do a lot better. I could go on and on about the problem with doing these mini budgets, but that'll be a debate probably for tomorrow or for a different day. But we can do much better for this, for these particular state employees. I'll challenge anybody to stand up and give me a reason why the teaching assistant in the classroom is less valuable or shouldn't accept the 5% raise that every other state employee is apparently going to get under the conference reports that we'll read tomorrow. I just don't think it's fair, and I just want to remind this body they were left out last year on the minimum wage increase, and I think we can do better. And I hope tomorrow that you come in and you'll listen to our amendments and you'll be open-minded and give them consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 426 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. House Bill 426 passed the second reading. Will without objection?
Objection.
Having been objected to, remains on the calendar. Notices and announcements. If not, Chairman from Wayne, Representative Bell. Just recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will caucus at 10:30 tomorrow. Please look for your email for an update on location. Thank you.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, August 28th at 1 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in that pesky Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Davis, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, August 28th at 1 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Stand adjourned.
Special messages from the Senate Chamber, August 27th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 126, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases and special annual leave to the law enforcement officers of the State Highway Patrol. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. That bill message is noted. Special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 226, Conference Committee Substitute Bill to be entitled an act appropriating funds for the 2019-2021 fiscal biennium to award public employee benefit increases and legislatively mandated salary increases to state employees. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. Message is noted. Special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 449, Conference Committee Substitute Bills to be entitled an act to authorize the issuance of handicapped license plates to a registered vehicle owner that is in the guardian or parent of a handicapped person and to authorize the Division of Motor Vehicles to produce various special registration plates. When the appropriate action taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. Message is noted. Special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 777, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act awarding legislatively mandated salary increases to special annual leave to law enforcement officers, to the State Bureau of Investigation and Alcohol Law Enforcement. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. Message is noted. Special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received from the Senate on August 20th, 2019, informing the House of Representatives that the Senate fails to concur in Senate Bill 361, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enact the Psychological Interjurisdictional Compact to allow licensed marriage and family therapists to conduct first-level commitment examinations, eliminate redundancy in adult care home inspections, raise awareness of lupus, and create the Lupus Advisory Council, and ensure the proper administration of step therapy protocols, ensure equal coverage for oral anti-cancer drugs, modernize Medicaid, telemedicine policies, increase access to telehealth care services, and create the North Carolina Health Care Solutions Task Force. The President pro tempore appoints Senator Heist, Chair Senator Krawick, Senator Bergen, Senator Perry on the part of the Senate to confer with a like committee appointed by our honorable body to the end that these differences arising may be resolved respectfully. Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. Message is noted. Special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message received from the Senate informing the House of Representatives that the Senate fails to concur in Senate Bill 522, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 6th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to make clarifying changes to the teacher licensure laws to align the selection of innovative schools with those identified by the State Board of Education for the comprehensive support and improvement to expand options for the innovative school district to require local boards of education to inform boards of county commissioners of academic progress annually and to require further study of reforms for assistance to low-performing schools. The President Tempore appoints Senator Ballard, Chair, Senator Horner, Senator Tillman, Senator D. Davis on part of the Senate to confer with a like committee appointed by our honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. And that message is noted. And special message from the Senate Chamber, August 27th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 559, House Committee Substitute Number 2, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to permit financing of certain storm recovery costs and to require the Utilities Commission to study the use of multi-year rate plan and banding of authorized return mechanism for rate setting for electric public utilities and request conferees. The President Tempore appoints Senator Rabin, Chair, Senator Heiss, Senator Blue, Senator Fitch, Senator Newton on the part of the Senate to confer with the like committee appointed by our honorable body to the end of the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted. And the Speaker appoints the following conferees for Senate Bill 559, Storm Securitization Alternate Rates. There are Julia Howard, Chair, David Lewis, Elmer Floyd, Representative Bumgardner, Sane, and Strickland. Senate will be so notified. The Speaker appoints the following conferees to Senate Bill 361, Healthy NC. The conferees are Representative Dobson, Chair, Representative Lambeth, White, and Potts. The Senate will be notified by special message. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. House Bill 704, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to establish the Rural Health Care Stabilization Program for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute. House Bill 704 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. The following special message is received from the Senate. House Bill 74, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to send a tax refund to the taxpayers with a net North Carolina tax liability for 2018 and make other conforming changes for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute. House Bill 74 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. And the following special message is received from the Senate. House Bill 555, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, Fifth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to appropriate funds for the implementation of Medicaid transformation and to make other Medicaid transformation related changes for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2. The Chair rules the Senate Committee Substitute Number 2 material constituting first reading. The bill is placed on the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for the 28th, Wednesday the 28th.